The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a man of Judea, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans.
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his children and his flocks drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go, call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.' For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." "What, husband? What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"Here I am, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then, his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see someone who told me everything I have ever done. Can this be the Messiah?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one else has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will and accomplish the work of the one who sent me. Do you not say, 4 months now, more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This morning I want to tell you first a story shared by 20th century Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich of the Serbian Orthodox Church. The holy martyr Fotina was that Samaritan woman who had the rare fortune to speak with the Lord Jesus Christ himself at Jacob's well in Sychar. Coming to faith in the Lord, she then came to believe in his gospel, together with her two sons, Victor and Josiah, and five sisters who were called Anatolia, Fota, Fotida, Parasheva, and Kyriake. They went to Carthage in Africa, but they were arrested and taken to Rome in the time of the Emperor Nero and thrown into prison. By the providence of God, Domnina, Nero's daughter, came into contact with Saint Fotina and was brought by her to the Christian faith. After imprisonment, they all suffered for Christ. Fotina, who first encountered the light of truth by a well, was thrown into a well where she died and entered the immortal kingdom of Christ. Now, this is the story of the Samaritan woman at the well according to Orthodox Christian tradition. The Catholic tradition is similar, except the woman is called Fotiona. She also is often known as Saint Fotina, equal to the apostles. Fotina, by the way, means the enlightened one. Now, if you're thinking, wait, I have never heard that much detail about the woman at the well, that's because none of it is actually found in scripture, and therefore, as Protestants, it just never found its way into our traditions. But I rather like the idea of honoring the woman at the well as being equal to the apostles. After all, scripture says many Samaritans from the city came to faith because of her testimony. And I love the simple fact that in this tradition, she has a name, even if it's one only based in tradition and story. I begin my sermon with this story of Saint Fotina because, frankly, I'm a little tired of preaching about nameless women in the scriptures. I'm tired of waiting for a gospel reading that features someone that looks like me, and then we finally get one, and the Bible commentaries tell us she's just another anonymous woman with a sketchy past. A good opportunity to preach a morality message. Don't be like the woman at the well, but even if you are like her, Jesus will accept you anyway. Today, instead, I want to talk about Fotina, or Fotiona, or Jennifer, or whatever her name was, a woman who had been married to five men by her admission. Maybe they died. Maybe they were unfaithful to her. Maybe they divorced her because she was unable to produce children with them. In any case, this woman, this strong woman, an audacious woman, a persistent woman, got up, got dressed, picked up her bucket, and went to the well in the heat of midday. And in my imagination, Fotina was thinking to herself, "Oh, please let there be no one there right now. Please let it be the hottest part of the day and so no one else is there, so I can just do my chores and not have to listen to those other women and all of their judging of me. And please let there be water, because I'm so thirsty. In my eyes, the woman at the well, Fotina, is a heroine even before she meets Jesus. In her culture, in her time, because of her life circumstances, everything was conspired against her. Even our history of biblical commentaries and interpretation conspires against her, making her into a sinner, into a nasty woman. Nevertheless, she persisted. Amen? Amen. Now, in case you've missed my point, the woman who met Jesus at the well was not a sinner. She was an outsider, though. She was an outsider, but as far as we know, not because of anything she did. She was abandoned and rejected by her community. And of course, as an outsider, she was surprised that Jesus, a Jewish man, would ask her for a drink. Because as a woman and as a Samaritan, he had no reason to talk to her or to even acknowledge her presence. She was a nobody. Do you know what it feels like to be a nobody? To not be counted? To feel like you don't have anything to offer? When have you walked into a room to realize that you are the wrong gender? Or the wrong color, or that you don't have the right credentials for that crowd? What does it feel like for entire states to pass bills denying your existence or your relationship? What does it feel like to know there are walls and checkpoints built to keep you in your place? If you have any sense of what that feels like, then you also probably know what it feels like when someone does, in fact, see you. During my seminary training, the second time around, after I had been home for a number of years with my small children, I was experiencing a lot of ambivalence about my future in ministry. It was summertime and I was doing my required chaplaincy training in the scenic trauma hospital of Waco, Texas. Now, this was a Baptist hospital in a Baptist part of the country where most churches didn't recognize me as being able to be a pastor or a preacher. So again and again, I encountered patients who didn't care that my name tag said chaplain. Again and again, I was sent out of the room to find a suitable male chaplain who could pray for them. And eventually, after enough of these encounters, I was starting to think maybe they were right. Maybe I should return home to just mother my kids. Maybe I didn't have anything to offer as a pastor. Maybe I was nobody. One evening, I shared those feelings with my chaplain supervisor, and I told him I was contemplating quitting and was preparing to leave the hospital that night. And I was in my regular clothes, didn't have a black shirt on, didn't have a white collar. I had taken off my name tag, no cross, nothing to identify me, just me, nobody, walking home to my family. And I just wanted to go in peace. But as I made my way through the long hospital hallways, pretty far deep into some self-critical, self-pitying thought, I have to say, a man suddenly darted out of one of the rooms and said, "Pastor, come quick." And I looked around and I said, "Excuse me? Who is that?" "Pastor, please come. We need you to come pray with my wife." And I was so confused. I didn't know this person. I didn't have anything on me that made me look like a pastor. I was just a student, a wannabe. Actually, in that day, I was not sure I want to be. But that's not what the man saw. He saw something I didn't. What could I do? I followed him into his wife's room.
And we gathered around her bed and we held her hands and we prayed with her. And at the end, he said, "Thank you, Pastor. You came at just the right time." Those words were everything to me. This man and his wife had a need and I had something to offer. Little did he know that his request was what I was thirsty for, validation of my call. Others may have said I was a nobody, but now I knew that I did have something to offer. I had a bucket, like the woman at the well. I had a call, and I knew then that I could use it for the sake of Jesus, the font of living water. Now, when Fotina, the Samaritan woman, arrived at the well with her bucket, she wanted to be alone, I think, also, and she didn't get her wish either, because there was Jesus, already there and thirsty. "Give me a drink," Jesus said. And can you imagine what she was thinking? This man is looking at her, asking for a drink. She had a bucket, though, and the well was deep, and she could see that he was thirsty. "Give me a drink," Jesus said. And thus begins the longest conversation Jesus has with a woman in all four of the Gospels. A long conversation and a powerful transformation. The woman at the well comes to realize not only who Jesus is, but also who she is. In the light of day, at that font of living water, she comes to know that Jesus is a prophet, maybe even the Messiah, and she comes to know that she is somebody. This is actually one of the healing stories in the Gospels, even though we don't usually think of it that way. Because Jesus healed the Samaritan woman of the disease of marginalization inflicted by her community. He gave her living water. He gave her a new life and a new mission as an apostle. Saint Fotina, remember, equal to the apostles. So this is so much more than a morality story about a woman who had five husbands and Jesus loved her anyway. This is so much more than a story teaching us to accept those who are different. I hope that this morning, through the story of Fotina, you hear this good news. When you feel you have nothing to give, when the world has weighed you down, and when they tell you you have nothing to offer, nothing to say, nothing to contribute, if anyone ever tells you that you are a nobody, know that Jesus sees you. Jesus is already waiting at the well for you. Jesus knows you and loves you, not in spite of who you are or where you've been, but because of that. Thanks be to God this morning for Jesus, the Messiah, whose acceptance quenches our thirst for belonging, whose grace quenches our thirst for forgiveness, and whose love pours like a fountain of living water from the cross, enough for the whole world. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.